Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 223 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Yeah, I know it's been a couple of weeks. As you know, if you follow me at all on social media, I was in Canada. I was in Montreal at Just for Laughs, the biggest and best comedy festival in the world. I loved it. I had a great time. I hosted New Faces of Comedy, some great young comics. I was the host for the award show, which was actually this year it was very moving. Last year the award show was funny. Excuse me, this year it was moving. Tiffany Haddish received Comedy Person of the Year and gave a touching speech about her beginnings and what she went through. And the award for her was presented by Kevin Hart. And the funny thing was, when Tiff was at her bottom, homeless, whatever, Kevin gave her $300. And she's been trying to give him back that money for months now. It's been an ongoing thing between them. Well, she gave him as a gift a pair of baby shoes. And if you know Kevin Hart, you know why that's funny. And inside the shoes was a $300. And Kevin was like, oh, you got me in public. I can't refuse it. So that was a nice moment. Joe Coy won Stand-Up Comic of the Year, another old friend of mine, and he talked about watching stand-up growing up and telling his mother he was going to be a comic. And Lil Rel, who's super hot right now, new show coming out on Fox, he was the TSA agent in Get Out. He's probably best known for that. He was the upcoming comedy star of the year. He was great, gave a speech about borrowing money from his mother to come to do New Faces of Comedy years ago. And now he's receiving these awards and all these accolades, and it was just great. It was good. So anyway, that was great. And also just being in Montreal, I mean, I absolutely love that city. If you haven't visited Canada, what the hell is wrong with you? Get up there. It's not that far. And Montreal is just such a beautiful, it has a European vibe to it. There's festivals all summer. There's Grand Prix in June. There's a jazz festival, then the comedy festival, then film and all kind of stuff. Definitely worth a visit. I just like it. And from there, and when the festival ended, I spent a couple of days, and then I went to Toronto to do another show, which is another great city. Now, Toronto's in a bit of turmoil about whether or not Kawhi Leonard's going to play up there. That's their big issue. And trust me, in Canada, when basketball is a story, it's big, because that is a hockey-loving country. But I had a great time, and one other thing in Montreal, I went to a place called the Phi Center. I was invited to. It is an artist development building. It's amazing. Different performance spaces. The entire building has art displayed by the owner of the building, so it's like a gallery as you walk through. There's a virtual reality storytelling space that blew my mind. It was amazing. I mean, it's all green. They even have a beehive on the top floor outside. Just amazing. And I'm probably going to be doing something there later this year. So I loved it because it was just a totally artistic, creative vibe. It didn't have anything to do with Hollywood or the business. It was creation for the sake of creation, which is something I love. So Canada, phenomenal trip. Also, I was in Canada. You know what that means? That means no Trump bullshit, no racism bullshit, everything that we deal with every day that we take for granted. Like, there was a shooting in Toronto, and they were outraged, and they very upset about it. But it was the only mass shooting since anyone can remember. It wasn't the weekly mass shooting that we've grown completely numb to. And it was nice to be away from the 24/7 Donald Trump news cycle. I ain't gonna lie. And that may be why you didn't get a podcast. It was also because of travel and stuff like that. But, oh man, you really can't imagine what it's like to be in a country that respects their leader, that there are differences, but not, the country's not divided to the point where it's polarized, to where nothing's done. There is no talk of a 1% in Canada. Canada has health care. I'm going to say it again, quietly. Canada has health care. And you know what? I've said it before, I'll say it again. Jesus did not smite them. They don't even hate their gays properly. Yeah, nothing in the Supreme Court saying that gays can't have a wedding cake. No equivalent to the Attorney General saying that he's going to do all he can to protect Christian law, which is really a way of applying Christian law to Christian morality. I know that doesn't even go together anymore, but you know, it's his way of saying we're going to apply that in the courts and in prosecutions and in defense of people who want to discriminate against gays, because we all know they're evil. We all know they're horrible, and God hates them, right? I didn't know it for a week and a half because I was in Canada, and they have gays and health care. They have gays and health care and a ridiculously good-looking prime minister, and somehow they get by. I don't know. Must be the hockey. Must be. So there was all that. So that's where I was, and that's why I haven't done a podcast. And I come home, and I prepare to do my podcast. And I'll tell you how I do this. I set up on my desktop computer, as many of you know, because you complain about the sound or about my office chair squeaking or something like that. And I have my iPad with some news stories on it. And my obviously on my desktop, there are some news stories that I like to talk about. I write an outline. And I try to, you know, stick to the outline when I do it all. So this is how I prepare. And I clicked on, and the first thing I saw was a murder. October of last year, October 2017, a man named Armando Frank was sitting on a tractor outside of Marysville, Louisiana. He was behind a Walmart on a tractor, which, you know, it's Louisiana. I don't know. Anyway, two cops came up and they said they had a warrant for his arrest. And he asked to see the warrant. And they said the warrant's at the sheriff's office. And he said, well, if you don't have the warrant, I'm not going anywhere. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but that seems to be reasonable. But it wasn't. So they tried to drag him off the tractor. They tased him. They put him in a chokehold and they killed him. And it's on the body cam of one of the cops. And I'm not going to lie, it's disturbing to watch someone get killed. I haven't been numb to that yet. It's disturbing to watch someone get killed. They drag him off the tractor. They have him on the ground. And then they said he's dead waiting. And dead waiting is when you go dead, you go limp to make your body heavy. So, excuse me, to make it more difficult to move you. He wasn't dead waiting. He was actually dead. And the worst part for me was the guy who strangled him was tired. He was winded because apparently it takes some effort to strangle somebody. And the other cops were like, are you okay? You're going to be all right? Meanwhile, the guy was the victim was dead, you know? Armando Frank dead. The reason this story came up because, and no surprise, the grand jury declined, refused, won't indict the cops. And there'll be a bunch of white people on Fox saying he shouldn't have resisted. Although, if there's one thing you know white people would do, you try to arrest them. They're like, where's a warrant? I want to see a warrant. Hell, every stupid cop show on TV, I want to see the warrant. We got to get a warrant, blah, blah, blah. But in real life, you don't. You just kill him. And that's that. And it's done. And it is disturbing. Anger isn't even what I feel. It's just, it's horrific. It's painful. It's sad. The guy had a warrant for, I don't know, breaking into a house or something like that. And the penalty was death. I don't even know what the warrant was for. It doesn't even matter what the warrant was for. He wouldn't get off a tractor. So the way to get him off a tractor, choke him to death. Now, I think you're supposed to go get the warrant. Maybe one cop watches him. So you call in, another cop brings a warrant, and you arrest him. But no, they just killed him. And you can see it on YouTube because that is our society. So if you want to, you know, go take a look. But that's that. So there's other shit to talk about. And you know, it's hard to talk about the other stuff. It was hard, especially about an hour and a half ago when I started working on this. When you watch a murder, it's hard to not talk about that. It's hard to go to other topics. So that was the recurring theme of my outline for the podcast, but I don't think I'm actually going to do that. Just know that it happened, and it's happened more than once, just in this podcast. LeBron James is now a Laker. We all know that. LeBron James opened a school. Most people know that. He opened a school, the Promise School, back in Ohio. School for underprivileged, hard luck, underperforming kids. He said when he was a kid, his bicycle gave him freedom. It allowed him to see other places and dream. So he's giving every kid who goes to the school a bicycle and so on and so forth. Most people would find this fantastic, a beautiful thing to do, et cetera, et cetera. That's most people. Some have a problem with it. Owen Benjamin's a comic. I know Owen. Not a bad guy, you know. He's entitled to his opinions, as everyone else is. And he wrote a post about LeBron. Basically, he criticized LeBron for saying, they're saying Trump brought politics into sports, and Owen is saying, well, Muhammad Ali brought politics into sports, Kaepernick brought politics into sports, and LeBron brought politics into sports, and LeBron isn't such a great guy for opening his school, and blah, blah, blah. Now, that's okay. It's, listen, he's a comic, he's funny, he's entitled to his opinion, so I'm okay with that. And but, you know, it's bullshit, okay? You have LeBron, who opened a school for underprivileged kids, and you have Trump, who opened a school university that's a total scam, that he had to pay $25 million fine for ripping off people. Bringing politics into sports, it's one thing when an athlete talks about politics. It's a completely different thing when a politician talks about sports. You know why? Because they're lawmakers. They're the system, okay? When the president calls out the NFL, that's much bigger than a basketball player criticizing the president. There's a huge difference between the two. At least there was, until we got this president who thinks Twitter is his voice to the people. It's his dog whistle to his haters and his racist and his fucking idiots. But anyway, that would be the difference. That's bringing politics to sports, okay? If you're confused on that matter. What LeBron did is great, and it was continued. Oh, and of course, Trump said, you know, what did he say? Something about Don Lemon interviewing LeBron James. It was hard for him to find someone more ignorant than him. I like Mike. So he's calling two black men professionals ignorant, right? Just this is the racist dog whistle we talk about. And, you know, Mike said that he supports LeBron. You know who else supported LeBron? Melania, who said it was a great thing LeBron did until she had to back off the statement, blah, blah, blah. Hey, it's great. Yeah, I want to compliment you for starting a school to help children. Ooh, I got to back off that statement. Unreal. So there's that. And it's I could talk about it more. You know, LeBron is LeBron. Beautiful trolling. Beautiful trolling. He's going to have a documentary on Showtime, and it will be titled Shut Up and Dribble. Shut Up and Dribble is what Laura Ingraham, I think her name is, the hateful chick on Fox News, said about LeBron the last time he had an opinion and called Trump a bum. Just shut up and dribble. Well, he did. He shut up. He dribbled. He also opened a school for kids. So there's that. But the ultimate trolling is to not address him directly. When they asked LeBron what he would do if he sat across from Trump, he just said, I wouldn't sit across from Trump. So did you hear that, Tiger? Did you hear that, Tiger? Did you hear that, Tiger Woods? Still can't get past Tiger playing golf with Donald Trump. Jeez. But anyway, the ultimate trolling, to name your special, Shut Up and Dribble. So there's that. The Manafort trial has begun. Manafort had a ostrich leather bomber jacket for $15,000. There are ballers who are looking at Manafort saying, damn, that boy wastes money. It was one of the strategies of the prosecution to show how much money he spent. I think he spent $900,000 on suits over a period of years, all money donated by Russian oligarchs. And the judge even said you can't use the term oligarch, you know. And I'm watching this on CNN, as much of it as I could tolerate. Did I mention I was in Canada where I didn't have to watch this? There were birds and the weather was beautiful. And there were food trucks. It was a festival. The funniest people in the world there, from New Faces of Comedy to Dave Chappelle and John Mayer did a show. Kevin Hart did a show. Tiffany Haddish did a show. Maj Jobrani hosted the ethnic show. And Trevor Noah was there. And Hannah Gadsby was there. And Maria Bamford was there. If you don't know these names, you should look them up because they're all hilarious. Amanda Seals and on and on. Oh, I was talking about the Manafort trial. Yeah, see what's going on here? So watching CNN, they were talking about when Manafort's convicted, is he going to get a pardon, this or that. They, once again, Democrats, liberals are thinking it's a done deal. Remember the last time they thought it was a done deal? Oh, I don't know, late 2016. It's not a done deal. This guy is not convicted. Let me tell you something. Don't count your ostriches before they've hatched. Don't know how this trial is going to turn out because you don't know. This is Washington. This is insiders. This is the swamp. Okay, this guy was the president's campaign advisor. You think he doesn't have friends with the judges we have and the court system we have? Ultimately, if anything goes to the Supreme Court, we know which way it's going to go. So this whole thing. So just relax, okay? This isn't the start of the dominoes that are going to bring Trump down. No, it's not. If anything, they'll just hang Manafort out by his damn self, you know, blame it all on him. You guys saw New Jack City? That's what you do in the middle of trial. Blame another guy that they believe he did it. I don't know what's going to happen. And neither do you. You know, that's the point. You don't know what's going to happen. And CNN doesn't know what's going to happen. And a million other pundits don't know what's going to happen. I have my suspicions, and they're not good. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see how this plays out. The U.S. Secretary of Commerce, a guy named Wilbur Ross, might be, and this is kind of a great story to me, this guy might be the biggest con man in history. We're looking at $120 million in allegations against this guy. Okay, now this is the Secretary of Commerce. Remember, Trump was going to drain the swamp? I guess he drained it to put more swampier creatures in. He had to drain the swampy creatures out to put even lower life in. So this guy, now he hasn't, this is all alleged, okay? Some of it has been done, some of it hasn't, okay? But in 2016, he was fined $2.3 million by the SEC. There was a $20 million lawsuit filed against him by a former vice chairman of his company. That settlement was $10 million. Ivesco, the parent company of W.L. Ross, that was his company, reported $43 million in regulatory and reimbursement expenses. Yeah, $43 million in reimbursements. There's a $4 million lawsuit. W.L. Ross paid back $11.9 million. It took from investors. Ross looted his accounts for $3.6 million. This all goes back years through 17, 16. So this is a guy. This is the guy. This guy's in charge of commerce. I guess Bernie Madoff was in jail. So you had to get somebody. So this is Trump's guy. Okay. Let's get comical. Let's have some fun. Because Donald Trump's fingers have been at it again. So he's been... and the stuff you have to laugh at is the incredibly stupid ones, right? Like there's the lies, the you know, the Putin thing, the whole thing with the meeting at Trump Tower. There was no meeting. There was a meeting, but I didn't know about it. There was a meeting, I knew about it. The Russians were there, but we didn't talk about the campaign. There was a meeting I did know about it. The Russians were there. We did talk about the campaign, but we talked about Hillary, but there was no collusion. Okay, collusion, not really a crime. This is how the story, not collusions. It's not a crime, even if there was collusion. Okay, so they did give us info about Hillary, but it's not illegal to use info against the, and blah, blah, blah. I'm not talking about those tweets. Those are admissions to crimes. Those aren't the funny ones. These are the funny ones. I don't know if you've heard this. So California is having some wildfires in central and northern California. Some of the worst fires in history. So Trump, because, you know, he knows things, tweeted, California wildfires, quote, California wildfires are being magnified and made so much worse by the bad environmental laws, which aren't allowing massive amounts of readily available water to be properly utilized. It is being diverted into the Pacific Ocean. Must also tree clear to stop fire from spreading. The what? And he said it again, that Governor, quote, Governor Jerry Brown must allow the free flow of vast amounts of water coming from the north and foolishly being diverted into the Pacific Ocean can be used for fires, farming, everything. So this idiot thinks that the water coming from Northern California, from the Colorado River, from the melt-off in the mountains in Tahoe, etc., is being diverted to the Pacific Ocean. Now, people who know, like, oh, I don't know, firefighters say they have plenty of water, and they've been doing the tree clearing. People who know, you know, scientists, say that these giant wildfires are part of global warming, which comes from no regulations, which, like, the federal government just removed EPA gas mileage requirements because they said that if cars get good gas mileage, people drive more, which makes it unsafe. So it's safer to have cars that get poor gas mileage, like trucks and SUVs, you know why? So that they can carry water to the fires, I guess. Because they're, you know, how do you argue with that? I said it before, I say it again. Stupid don't get tired. These are tweets he does in the middle of the night at home. There's no water being diverted to the Pacific Ocean. Yeah, water goes through rivers and so on, but that's the natural flow of water. And there are battles between the farming communities and the cities in California about use of the water. Yeah, that goes on, but they're not just diverting the water into the Pacific Ocean. And here's the thing. I, just like members of the media, you have to spend time talking about this. They literally have to waste time explaining to people that this is not real. But you're wasting your time because his followers are going to believe what he says, including that we have an invisible plane. I'm going to say that again. We have an invisible plane. The F-35 developed, I believe, by Lockheed or Lockheed and Northrop is a stealth plane. Stealth means it's invisible to electronics. It's invisible to radar. It's not actually invisible because that would be impossible. Now, there is an invisible plane. Wonder Woman uses it on a regular basis. And maybe Donald Trump saw that. Can you imagine? He said this repeatedly, that the F-35, it is invisible. And he says it, Brad, like, can you believe that? Everyone says it's invisible. You can't fight it. You can't beat an invisible plane. It's invisible. And there are officers from the company, from Lockheed in the military, standing behind him. And they have to stand there with a straight face while he talks about an airplane being invisible. You stand right next to it. You can't see it. It's invisible. Can you imagine how difficult their job is? They have to stand there and smile or just hold a straight face and not say, "You fucking idiot, the airplane is not invisible." That would be impossible. You know, I worked on the stealth technology back. I worked on the F-117 back in the 80s. It was a stealth fighter. It was used in the first Gulf War. Toughest thing about building it, attaching parts to an invisible plane. Because, see, you have the part, but the plane's invisible. And then when you get close, the part becomes invisible because they turned on the cloaking device. Ah, shut up. Again, you have to deal with this. The idiot just popping off. We don't have invisible planes. Trump also said that the press is an enemy of the state, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who's a press person, didn't say the press isn't an enemy of the state. See, there are interesting enemies of the state. There's the press, there's Canada, there's NATO. These are all enemies. How do you fight it? You can't. You know why? You know, look around. Because of Q. QAnon is here. Are you familiar with this QAnon? This thing. I still don't quite understand how this Q thing works. But this is basically it. Okay, there are people. Trump still holds rallies because he thinks he's still running for office. Or because Putin told him to. But anyway, this, to the believers of QAnon, okay, Q is a pseudonym for a well-placed U.S. government agent who is posting online distress messages and bits of intel known as breadcrumbs in an effort to save the country and Trump from hostile forces within the government. Okay, you got it? So Q is a government agent, not like the government agent from Moscow who suckered all these people. 29-year-old redhead who had 50-something-year-old guys thinking, she wants to fuck me. She does, really. I know she's asking questions about the government, but she knows she wants me. No, that not that kind of government agent. This is a government agent who is aware of hostile forces within the government, and he's dropping breadcrumbs. I told you we're living in Mission Impossible. And the breadcrumbs he's dropped, this is the beautiful thing. These breadcrumbs, right? Secret intelligence. But the only people smart enough to find it are the people at a Trump rally. Oh, known for their genius. Known. I shouldn't laugh because this is real and it's growing. Some QAnon followers believe Trump himself inspired the movement. You know, maybe he's the government operative who's done. You know, if you want to like prove Trump wrong or that he lies or undermine him, you don't really need to be in secret. You just need to like read, you know, just read the truth or anything. But they're out there, the Q supporters. You know, this is bad for it. There's a fraternity called the Qs, the Q Dogs, and they're now probably gonna have to change their letter. Because they don't want to be part of QAnon, or maybe they are. Maybe they are. So they don't know if Q is an author, or if Q is Trump, or if Q. But they're mad at news reporters, and Trump's going to mention Q. I don't know how to combat that level of stupid. I don't know what you do. Look it up. Look up QAnon and try to figure it out. It is mind-boggling. It is mind-boggling, but it's there, and they believe it. And, you know, anything else is fake news, but the secret conspiracy that you can find from a secret government agent who's dropping breadcrumbs to let you know who's out to bring down Trump, that you can believe. You can take that to the bank. That's real. I told you there was another murder I wanted to talk about. Nia Wilson, you may have heard this story. Nia Wilson was stabbed to death in Oakland in a train station. She was stabbed to death by a white man. They're trying to say it's not a hate crime, even though there was no other reason for him to stab her. He was a homeless guy with a long criminal record. Now, I want you to think about that, because if you just, this is one of those, let's reverse roles. Let's say a white woman was murdered by a homeless black man with a criminal record. Might be a little different. Anyway, Nia Wilson's name is being said. You know why? Because Anne Hathaway called it out. Anne Hathaway called out how wrong it is, and that it is a racist thing, and so on. And kudos to Anne Hathaway. And the article that I read it about was talking about the only way to get white privilege to understand is for white privilege to talk to them. And if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. If it takes an Anne Hathaway to mention Nia Wilson's name so that her name is said, then that's okay. And thank you, Anne Hathaway, for doing it. If these white people living in denial, okay, if these white people who think that it was justified to kill Armando Frank for wanting to see the warrant for his arrest, if the only way they hear it is from other white people, then God bless other white people for saying it. So kudos to her for saying what she said and pointing it out and using her social media and her influence just to tell the story of this woman who was stabbed just for being on a train station. That got heavy quick. Thank you for hanging with me this far, by the way. I know we got some catching up to do. You want some good news? The NRA's in trouble. The NRA's in trouble. Have you heard this? That the NRA is whining, crying like bitches because they can't get insurance? Yeah, the NRA tried to sell some bullshit insurance called Carry Guard in New York. And the theory was that, you know, if you get in trouble using your gun, you have Carry Guard, which will protect you. Of course, this is illegal in New York, and you're not supposed to have guns in New York and so on. So Cuomo and the New York Insurance Regulatory Board shut it down. And the NRA's insurance company said, look, we're not insuring the NRA anymore. And of course, other insurance companies, because they don't want to be associated with the NRA, are like backing off. Like, we don't want to be bought. No, we don't want the, you know, it was like, you don't want to be associated with the NRA because they're a horrible organization. And I'll say it again. I said it before. I'll say it again. I'm not anti-gun. I know a lot of people with guns. You have a choice. It's a freedom. You have you do. You have the right to own a gun. I'm not going to argue the Second Amendment with you right now. You can protect your home. You can protect yourself. You can go target shooting. You can go hunting, because you might need a 50-round clip and armor-piercing bullets, because, you know, those deer fight back. Those deer fight back, and you better be armed and ready. But anyway, the NRA is in trouble because they can't get insurance, which says they can't operate. They can't run their TV propaganda station, and they can't hold their, you know, pro-school shooting rallies and all that other bullshit that they do. So, they're whining. It's what they, if a liberal organization did this, they'd be called snowflakes and babies, and they'd be protesting them in diapers and so. But it's the NRA, so they're protesting for America. America, they're being brought down, some bitch, by Cuomo and them queers at the insurance agency. Some bitch probably going to shut down American NRA. No, it's not going to shut down the NRA. The NRA can always go to court. They are in court. They can fight this if it makes it to the Supreme Court. I think we know how it goes. So it'd be nice to see the NRA bankrupted. It would be kind of like with Capone, when they brought Capone down for not paying his taxes. The guy, like, bootlegger, murderer, gangster, blah, blah, blah. Brought him down, not paying his taxes. It'd be nice if that's how they brought down the NRA. Just no insurance. Shut him down. But I doubt if it's going to happen. This is almost justice. In a guy named Raymond Ranke from Pendleton, Oregon, was teasing a bison in Yellowstone National Park. Now, it'd be a great story if the bison turned, charged, gored him, and stomped him to death, but the story's not that good. He did get arrested, so that is good. he got arrested for being intoxicated in the park and for messing with the bison, if you're listening, or buffalo, if you prefer, if you're listening. If a drunk human bothers you, stomp him. That's all. Just stomp him. You have two horns and a really big head. You just kind of bump him, and when he falls, you stomp him. And that's how you handle that. That goes out to all the bison and all the buffalo listening to my podcast. Finally, is there a finally? I don't know. Yeah, this is going to be finally. We're on a roll with stupid. How about stupid statements? How about stupid statements from stupid people for 100, Alex? Okay, what do you got? There is a guy, New York State Assemblyman Kieran Michael Lehler, was on Fox News. He was on Fox and Friends, and they were talking about Colin Kaepernick and how terrible Colin Kaepernick is, and Colin Kaepernick is blah, blah, blah. And then Lehler said that, you know, police brutality isn't as bad as players claim. It's not bad. It's just, it's good police brutality. It's not the bad police brutality. And then he said, he said that the worst thing can happen is being called a racist. That's the worst thing anyone can do. The worst thing anyone can do to you is call you a racist. You know what's worse than being called a racist? Being killed by a racist cop. How's that? I think that's worse. I think if you were to talk to Armando Frank's people, they'd say, you know, there is one thing worse than being called a racist. Being choked to death by a racist cop. This is where we're at. That's the divide. That's why I was in Canada. Oh, if they didn't have winter, I'd still be there. Coming up, I got side splitters in Tampa next weekend, 16th through 19th of Tampa. 16th through 19th of August, I will be in Tampa at Side Splitters. Fantastic old school comedy club. I love working that place, even with summer humidity. And I've been winning on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I don't know if you've been listening, but I've been winning. I'm on a roll, two in a row. So I am enjoying that. And I'm enjoying you. And I appreciate those who listen to my podcast. I appreciate those who put up with the occasional nature of my podcast. And I so appreciate those who come out, see me live, laugh, and support. I got a new CD coming out. I said it would be in July. There was a little delay in production. It will drop in August. And I'm back on the road. I'm back to work. So it's going to be Tampa, then it's going to be Dead Crow in North Carolina, then I'm going to be in Ontario, California, and then I'm going to be in Chicago. And I got a bunch of stuff coming up. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Who's paying attention? You are. Democrats, don't count your ostriches before they've hatched. And that's it.